Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
All right. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Renee Stubbs Tennis Podcast. And I'm joined once again by my buddy, my roommate, my broody, Andrea Pekovic. Okay, Pekko, day three, which is weird because it's Tuesday, so it's normally day two. But yeah, because we started on Sunday, day three is in the books.
It feels like day 30 already.
We're actually doing this podcast at the end of play, but there are actually one match still going on with Ayla Tomljanovic, so we apologize that we didn't get that result in, but we got to go to bed because we got a long day ahead of us tomorrow. But what a day's play it was today. Can we start with the first match in the evening in particular that I would like to talk about?
The match of the day.
The match of the day on the women's side in a lot of ways was the Rybakina-Pliskova match. What a fantastic match that was. I mean, wow, like some huge hitting, very similar to Osaka Garcia the night before, where it was like not a lot of rallies, but just amazing shot making and serving. This one, in my opinion, was actually even better because the quality was really, really good from both players. Pliskova had three set points. Rybakina had three set points earlier, and then it was sort of back and forth in that first set. It could have gone either way. Pliskova had an early break in the first set. And then in the end, really, Pliskova had it on her plate, serving for that first set in the tiebreak. And normally, back in the day, she would have finished that off. But I think the lack of confidence in her game, and of course, the confidence that Rybakina has, got her through that match. But what were your thoughts on it? Because you were courtside for that match. I was calling it for ESPN, and you were courtside for the World Feed. So what did you think?
I agree with you 100%. It was a really high-quality match. I think both women played really well. I think it was the best set I've seen Pliskova play in a long time. Since her wrist injuries, hasn't really been the same. I feel like she has improved her serve, if that's possible. Of course, she's known as the serve bot. She's known as somebody who serves really well. However, I feel like there were 2-3 years of her serving period where her elbow had dropped, where she just was serving double faults in important moments.
She wasn't hitting what I noticed tonight was that she was getting better with the kick serve. She was getting the ball toss over her head a little bit again and sort of getting some air over the net on the second serve. And so it's not as attackable. I mean, it was something that I worked with her a lot on as well. So it's good to see. So you noticed that as well.
Absolutely. And I think it was really the difference was the confidence, right? You can see Rybakina has won a lot of matches. Interesting fact, she was the lady who won the most tie breaks in 2023. So even when she was down 6-3, in the back of my mind, I was like, she must feel good about this still. Yeah. And you could just see that she just went for it. I think that's the difference. She didn't have any thought in her mind. And on those two set points, especially when Karolina was serving, you could see that her thoughts were racing. She was like, should I go wide? Maybe down the tee. Oh, maybe I should go body. I don't know. That's how it looked like, right?
And her serve had been so good the whole set, and she missed the first serves and then obviously got behind in the point. She got a little bit unlucky with that. I mean, not unlucky. It was an incredible shot from Rybakina with the cross-court little dink shot over the off the let court and, and then that one ball at 6-all that was on the outside of the line. So just everything fell her way, but that's what happens when you have the confidence. And when you don't have the confidence, those little tiny things don't go your way. And that's what happened in that match. But it was... I mean, Rybakina has to feel unbelievably good about herself to get through that match with this quality of tennis that Karolina Pliskova, former number one in the world, and of course, finalist, two-time Grand Slam finalist, showed that Rybakina could get through that match, that's got to give her a shit ton of confidence going forward in this tournament, I have to think.
I think so. Josh Eagle was calling the match, and Josh Eagle and Laura Robson, and Josh asked us, what, when it's all said and done and Rybakina's career is over, where do you think will she have won the most majors? And I said, I think it's the Australian Open.
Yeah.
She looks so comfortable here.
Yeah.
It's a medium, quick court. It's the quickest of all majors as of now. Of course, they change the surfaces every year. But as of now, it's been the quickest for a while now. And I think these
big
hitters... Do
you think
hitters,
it's faster than the US Open?
I think it's slightly faster than the US... Maybe not faster, but it's flatter. I feel like, especially when it's hot and with the humidity, the ball in Arthur Ashe and the biggest stadiums can sit up a bit more. On the outer courts, it's a different story. Here, it really skids through. And it's been a bit slower this year compared to last year, but it still plays speedy compared to other hard courts. And we have seen the tour slowing down the hard courts more and more. And I think, especially for these big hitters, the beginning of the season is so huge.
Yeah.
You saw it last year too with Sabalenka and Rybakina. They started into the season blasting because they just need that freshness, that alertness. They need to see the ball early. They need to feel rested. They need to feel trained. And that's why I think she just looks at home here. And I think that will be her slam sooner or later.
And, you know, we don't talk about the balls enough. These balls, I'm hearing that they're feel a little heavier this year. So, you know, a big hitter is going to be able to hit through that as well. And she is a big hitter. Oh my God, some of the shots that she was hitting tonight, particularly the backhand and the serve, was unbelievable. So a huge win for her, especially because she would have seen the draw and gone, are you fucking kidding me? Like, really? But anyway, Iga Świątek also had a great win first up.
Oh, that was a good match too.
Yeah, I mean, Sophia Kenin, former champion here at the Australian Open, has had a decent 12 months, got her sort of ranking back up there. And really, that would have been a nightmare draw for Świątek as well. And a bit rusty in the first set. Like, it was a tussle in the first set. She got through that and relaxed a little bit and then got it done. But what a nightmare draw for Sofia Kenin. And frankly, for Pliskova. I mean, geez. I mean, Naomi Osaka, Angie Kerber, all these players that lost in the first round.
Well, and you tweeted it out before the tournament. The craziest section of all is Świątek getting through Kenin, played a good match. And now Collins is waiting for her. The woman that has taken her out a few years ago.
She took her out
two years ago
in the semifinals. Yes. So, I mean, it's just a nightmare. I mean, I did see Iga today and she was like, Collins now. Like, you know, I mean, she's aware that she's had a shitty draw. So there's some players that have got, you know, and people say it's the luck of the draw. And you're like, oh, you make your luck and all that sort. No, you don't. Those people get pulled out and you have to play them. So it's a good win for Świątek. And it's not getting any easier having to play against Danielle Collins. And yes, Danielle Collins has not played great in the last 12 months. But you have to understand something. And I had this little bit of a Twitter war with people because they're like, oh, Collins is not playing well. Sophia Kenin's not the same player. All this sort of stuff. It doesn't matter. These players have done well in their career and they know how to win on the biggest of stages. And so you cannot take people like that for granted when you go up against them because they know how to win in big matches. And we saw that. I mean, the bottom line is that, you know, Kerber lost to Danielle Collins because Danielle Collins has been playing really good tennis over the last few years and Angie Kerber has had a baby and been away. And I think Angie's going to struggle coming back. But I think, look, you know, if she can get the fitness level back, the quickness with the feet, but it's not that easy to do in your mid-30s after having a child. But we hope that she can get it back. Same with Naomi. I think it'll come easier to Naomi because she has the power game and she's a lot younger. She's 10 years younger than Angie Kerber. So just like with Svitolina coming back, younger, that's why she, I think, did really well. But even for Serena, even though Serena made, what, 4 Grand Slam finals after she came back, but still she didn't win them. And I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that she's a little bit older and she understands that time is running out, all of that sort of stuff. But anyway, incredible win by Iga. Holger Rune got through in a really tough match today against Nishikori.
Nishioka.
But I tell you, oh man, the weather was hot today too. And that was a factor with a bunch of events.
What else stood out to you on the men's side? We had a few good showings, actually. Kasper Ruud came through really nicely. And your fave, Grigor Dimitrov, he had a bit of a struggle in the first set. But he's been doing well here.
And that was a rough first round as far as, you know, players that have done well and has taken out some good players in Fuksovic. But Grigor's tough man right now. He's stronger, he's fitter, he's bigger. He went through long COVID. He was having some real issues with that last year, you know, in the previous year. And last year he was starting to get it coming back, and you can tell he's just stronger and he's fitter. And he is more confident. And I think he's hitting his backhand bigger and better. I think he's serving better. He didn't serve great today, but he is serving better. So I'm super happy about seeing Grigor do really well.
And Thanasi Kokkinakis, he cannot win a match here under 5 hours and five sets, can he? No.
Unbelievable. But he did it. He got through. And thankfully for him, the crowd, you know, helped him get through that match. And they will continue to get him through, hopefully, the next match and whatever it's going to take. But hopefully his body stands up. Alcaraz looked amazing against poor old Richard Gasquet. What a shitty draw for poor old Tiki
and
Gasquet.
And he hung in there in the first set, got it to the tie break, looked actually quite good. Some beautiful shot making with these two, right?
Yeah, that so backhand. Fun. So fun. I mean,
I could only dream.
You want to dream about having a one-handed backhand?
I could only dream.
It's a nice thing to have, but you know, a lot of people want that two-hander because they want to use that left hand to help them hit a backhand.
Well, on returns, I guess it helps a little. But other than that, it's nice to have a nice little one-hander.
But I was super happy for Grigor in particular. Right now, as we said, Tomljanovic is playing Martic. It's a battle in the third set.
Pegula is up a set and 3-2 with a break against Rebecca Marino, who has a great story as well. And we will be back tomorrow. Renee, it's 11:36 p.m.
Are you calling it already after all that? Let's add Victoria Azarenka got through an unbelievable three-set match today. She had the crowd going. And of course, Camilla Georgie is not easy. Sloane Stephens won a match here for the first time in about 5 years. So kudos to Sloane for getting through her matches. And I don't know. I mean, the weather is going to be cold tomorrow, which is really random, but it's also very typical of Melbourne. I want to give a little shout out and congrats also to Emma Navarro, who got through a really tough match today, especially after coming from Hobart and winning the tournament. Yeah. And getting to the semis.
And actually, interesting fact, Emma Navarro and Yelena Ostapenko are the two match win leaders on the WTA Tour right now.
Wow.
Because, as you said, Emma Navarro, she won in Hobart, won today. And just behind them, Yelena Rybakina.
Wow,
or Elena. Is it Elena or Yelena?
I think it's
the same with like Ostapenko.
I think it's Elena. Because then they also call her Lena.
You know, I said Elena, but then the announcer today on the stadium kept saying Yelena, and I was like, am I the one who's wrong?
I think you probably have a better idea how to say her name than the Australian announcer, because we fuck every name up. I'm just going to be super honest.
Okay.
Ostapenko won. She was a bit scratchy in the first set. Kim Birrell had an opportunity to win the first set, certainly on her own serve, but she hit a couple of double faults that hurt her. But tomorrow, I just want to give you a little, before we go, tomorrow is going to be another unbelievable day. We've got Ange Burr, of course, Alex Di Minaur, Arina Sabalenka. We get to see her up against, finally, feel like it's been forever since we've seen Sabalenka. She's up against Brenda Fruvitova, Novak Djokovic, of course, Jannik Sinner, Coco Gauff against another American. So we've got a lot on the schedule tomorrow.
And I'm going to call a little upset alert.
Okay.
On Jordan Thompson versus Stefanos Tsitsipas.
I think you're right.
Not because I think Stefanos was playing particularly badly. I don't think he did. I actually think he looked fairly okay compared to how he has looked in the past. The serve was worrying to me, and Jordan has played really, really well. He always plays well in Australia, and he has a great serve, and he has that kick serve that jumps really high on Stefanos's backhand. So I'm just
alert people.
Well, I'm just worried about that. Let's for Stefanos.
Oh, so you're not going to call it?
I'm a pussy.
Oh, you're such
can I say that?
Wuss.
We
can say whatever we want on this podcast, and you are going to call yourself a pussy. You can call yourself a pussy. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we've had a long day. We appreciate you tuning in. But the bottom line is, we had an excellent loads of tennis today. Once again, it was bloody hot today, and tomorrow's going to be a lot more mild. So we'll see how the players, I'm sure they'll enjoy it. I never enjoyed playing in the cold, but today was windy and hot, and that is not fun. So anyway, thanks for joining us. Tune in tomorrow. Of course, the world feed, if you're listening to the world feed, which a lot of you will be getting, you're getting Andrea Petkovic's lovely tones and voices. And you had your first on-court interview today on Rod Laver. How did you find that?
I was a little nervous. It was my first one, and I knew I was getting both either Pliskova or Rybakina, who are not known to be
chatty,
the longest talkers. And the only thing I was worried about really was that they don't want to be there because I know how it feels.
Yeah, just want to get the hell out of there.
Especially after a great intense match, you just want to get into recovery. And that was the only thing I was worried about, that I prepared this great question.
And you were going to get a uh-huh.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. I get it. So I made sure that I asked open questions, but still, players always find a way to make it really short if they want to. But Elena was great. And I think she looked really happy and really relieved. And she said it. It was a tough draw, and she had a 3-0 head-to-head against Pliskova. But still, you don't want to play somebody who has a chance at winning slams. And Karolina is always among the favorites. And yes, she's had a few years where she hasn't been as strong as she used to be. But still, you don't want to play somebody like this in the first round.
Listen, when she came out and got broken very early in the match, Rybakina against one of the best servers of all time, you kind of get a little bit of shit in your pants.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, right? Because you're like, oh my God. And not only that, Karolina was playing well. Mm-hmm. She wasn't giving a lot of free points.
She was playing really
well. Was pounding the forehand to the forehand rally, which kind of favors Pliskova's game.
Mm.
So, you know, as a player, Rybakina doesn't show a lot of emotion, as she told you on the court. But internally, believe me, she was thinking, oh my God, I'm getting really good Karolina Pliskova tonight.
Exactly.
And so that's why she needed to bring her best.
And it just emphasizes the point you made in your Twitter wars that you get into. I think it's one of your hobbies. When you read Renee Stubbs' bio on ESPN, it says sports announcer and commentator, hobbies, getting into Twitter wars with randos.
With randos.
With randos. But it just comes to support your point that if you play these players who are, first of all, known to play well on a big stage. Second of all, who tend to show up in the big matches.
Yeah, they're not overawed by game. I mean, Karolina Pliskova is not going to be walking out to Rod Laver going, oh my God.
Exactly.
Like some girl who's never been out there, like the 18-year-old German that played Sabalenka
exactly.
in the first round going, oh my God, I'm going to shit myself before I even hit a ball and my heart rate's at 180 and I haven't done anything. Whereas Karolina's walking out there going, okay, yeah, I've been here, I've done it before. I'm former world number one. I know how to handle this moment. That's a very different person to get.
And I compare it a little bit to Fed Cup, Billie Jean King Cup now, or Davis Cup. When you have a player, even if, for example, in France, they have this discussion all the time. Kristina Mladenovic hasn't had great seasons since she's been the number since she's been in the top 10. But she has continuously shown up in the
Billie Jean King Cup
ties.
Yeah.
I would always put her if I can, and if I don't have anybody that is like a Caroline Garcia, so much better, right?
Yep.
I would always favor her compared to somebody like Alize Cornet, who's a fantastic player, but just continuously has not been able to
show up and
sustain
times.
That pressure of a team competition, which is just a very different animal.
Yeah.
And just to support your point, I think there is something in the mentality of these players who have been there, who have been in the finals, who have been on the big stages, that is just a bit different no matter what has happened in the past.
Yeah, and just to put a button on that, I think the difference with Karolina and Rybakina tonight, for example, was that she wasn't overawed by the situation, Karolina, which is why she was able to come out and play so well. But the difference was when it came down to serving out that set, it's just, even for her, she wasn't overawed by the situation, but the lack of confidence to be able to finish off that set was obvious right at that moment. And so could that come back? There's no question, because she just has to do it once.
Yes.
And then she goes, oh, shit, that's right. I don't remember how to do this.
Mm.
But that does take time. That's why it's going to take time for Naomi Osaka. Mm. It's going to take time maybe for Karolina to get back there now that she's healthy.
Mm.
And those types of players. So we have hope that they'll get back there. The Emma Raducanu, we forgot to mention, won her first round against
Shelby Rogers.
I mean, honestly, that was probably the best draw that she could have, because also Shelby hasn't played for so long because of injuries and et cetera, and getting married and all that sort of stuff. So it was a good draw in some way for Emma. Nothing against Shelby. But still, even for someone like her, when you've done things like winning Grand Slams, you're not overawed as much by situation as a lot of people.
And I think why it's been so difficult to see these top players put against each other in the first round is that against, taking the example of Pliskova and Rybakina, against the Rybakina, she only has that one chance.
Yeah.
She only has that one little opening.
Yeah.
So if she squanders that, it's gone. Rybakina never looked back in the second set, right? But if she plays somebody ranked 50, she will get three openings. if she plays somebody that's ranked 90 or a qualifier, she will get 6 openings.
Yep.
And Karolina Pliszka will take one of these openings.
Yep.
But she might not take the little one opening she had, you know?
Yep.
And that's the difference. And that's why it's hard for a Naomi Osaka playing Garcia, because she had a chance, but she had one chance.
Yeah. No, she had no break points.
Yeah, but not I mean, one. You know, in chance, I mean like 15-30.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
And a neutral ball.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's one neutral ball at 15-30, and that's not even guaranteed you will break,
yeah.
You know? But that's what I mean. But against a 30, 50, 90 in the world, there will be more of these chances, and you also don't feel so stressed to have to take that one little thing that you
especially
have.
Playing against such a great server as both of them are. So anyway guys, thanks for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah, we went on a
tennis.
Little rant there.
We went down a rabbit hole, but we appreciate it. I hope
more
you,
power to
I was
us.
Like we appreciate a rabbit hole. We hope you appreciated
that's
our rabbit
more
hole
important.
All right guys, see you tomorrow.
See
bye
tomorrow.
Cheers.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.